Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of welcome to Suzy Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, here's that question that I ask once a month, although I think we should be asking ourselves this question every day. How would you live differently if you weren't afraid of anything? How would you live if you weren't afraid of anything? Every month, we have our good friend Jamie Winship on the show to talk about identity. You know, we're so often quick to forget who we are. And when we forget who we are, it means we've already forgotten who God is. Well, today we're going to talk about this aspect of identity. It's this: how to hear from God. How do you know if it's God speaking to you or if it's your own made-up thoughts? How do you discern the difference between the devil's voice in your ear and the Lord's voice in your ear? We're going to draw from Jamie's amazing book, Living Fearless, Exchanging the Lives of the World for the Liberating Truths of God. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. If you want to just a deep dive into what it means to confront your fears, to hear from God, to walk faithfully with Him, and be inspired, text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. Quick announcement here. We are doing this social media campaign about Jesus' final days on earth as He journeyed to the cross, inviting you to journey with us. We're posting memes and quotes every day on Instagram and Facebook, so check out our Faith Radio Facebook page and Instagram page, and join us as we journey with Jesus to the cross. Now let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Jamie has decades of experience bringing peaceful solutions to some of the world's highest conflict areas, starting with a distinguished career in law enforcement. His unconventional efforts to bring about societal and racial reconciliation led him to Indonesia, Jordan, Iraq, Palestine, Israel, and back to the U.S. He's worked with leaders in a variety of sectors, from police departments, pro football teams, faith-based organizations, and the Faith Radio listeners. They need to be in that lineup. He's the author of Living Fearless, Exchanging the Lives of the World for the Liberating Truth of God. Jamie, dear brother, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's always a blast to be with you, Suzy.
Yeah,
so glad to be here.
We love our conversations. Thank you for making time for us. Well, you know, you've been on plenty of times. We like to start out every day with the same question. It's this: what's God been impressing upon your heart these days?
Oh, wow. Well, I'll tell you, it was super interesting. I'm working a lot on this book on economics and worldview. And so currently, I just did a lecture on this, comparing Joseph to Daniel in the scriptures. And wow, that is, it's so fascinating. It's going along with what you just said about identity, really about hearing from God. And so, yeah, I've been deep in studying, comparing those two a little bit with Nehemiah as well. So digging into all that, but I'm always looking through the same grid. You know, I'm always looking through the identity grid, the worldview grid that those characters and those scriptures are so rich in this. These things, so rich. So that's what I'm into.
So give me a glimpse. Like, what are you seeing between Daniel and Joseph?
Well, so I was talking to some rabbis and about the Torah, and one of them made the comment that Daniel is a higher form of Joseph, which really kind of struck me. And so I went back and I was just really reading carefully through the story of the two different men, and they're very similar in what happens to them in their early life, you know, being in captivity and all of that. But the conclusion is of Joseph's life is he had really no impact on the life of Pharaoh. I mean, there's no spiritual transformation of the Pharaoh. The economic policies with Joseph as number two actually end up in people being sold into slavery to buy grain. And then, the people end up in full bondage by the time you get to Exodus. So they go from a place, the Hebrew people go from a place of kind of affluence in Egypt to absolute bondage in the same location. And so, but then when you look at Daniel, Daniel dramatically impacts four different dynasties with kings falling down and acknowledging God. Joseph wow. has no impact like that at all.
Wow.
And Joseph is never threatened by the empire. They never threaten him with death. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego threatened with death because of their faith, because they're a threat to the empire. Joseph's not a threat to the empire. He builds the empire. He's a good guy. He's a great guy, you know, loves God and all that. But he's not a threat to the empire. Daniel's a threat to the empire, but he is a blessing to the kingdom and to the people around him. So it's really different. It's a really interesting comparison between the
two. And such a direct connection between a threat and impact. Because if you know, if it's not costing Joseph anything, I'm not saying his journey didn't cost him, it absolutely did.
Yes.
But when you think of when your life is threatened, when there is, you know, persecution to the point that your life is threatened and you don't buckle under that, that's impactful, you know?
Right. That's right. Wow. That's right. And what Daniel is saying, Joseph in Genesis in 47, Genesis 47. 47:21, it's like he's in a repressive society. He's working within a repressive society and he's an influencer in it. But as part of the policy he employs, people are enslaved in huge numbers in Genesis 47. So he's in a culture that enslaves people, but he is able to protect his small group. But eventually the empire enslaves everybody. It makes you think you're winning, but you end up in bondage, you know, and we can all feel that in situations that we're in our lives where the empire is really just running our lives. It has to do with fear. It has to do with scarcity. Whereas what Daniel is saying is I will serve the empire that I'm in, but I will not bow down to it. And I will bring transformation to it. So that's wow. So I was just challenging our guys. Are we trying to just get in positions of affluence as good Christian people where we're all just kind of benefiting from it? Or are we going to be Daniel that brings transformation to whole systems? And it's going to cost us. It will cost us. So.
Wow. You've given me a lot to think about. Thank you for that. Wow. Thank you for that. Yeah. Wow. You know, you've got a lot of stories that about times you heard from God and it impacted certain outcomes. So even if you've told some of these stories before, I'd love for you to just even share a couple. And friends, Jamie never knows what I'm going to throw at him. Just saying. I never prep him ahead of time to tell him what I'm going to ask him about. So I'm always putting you on the spot. But whatever, I prayed for you though before the show that the Lord would bring to mind. But a story or two of just times when you did hear from God and it impacted the outcome.
Okay. And you're aware of the time, so you know me. Once I start telling a story, you might have
you
to
go.
Like interrupt me. But
yeah.
So just what comes to you, it's interesting because I haven't thought about this story in a while, but we're still dealing with the ramifications of it. And that's one thing about hearing from God. It has long-term impact. And so whereas if you're listening to the world, it's very temporary. It creates conflict. It creates separation. But so I was teaching a small men's group at a church. This is a long time ago, and we had just come out of our time in Iraq and Jordan, back into the States briefly. And I was at a men's gathering, and we started. The men were, it was a small group, and I was asking them, did they ever talk about hearing from God? Was that ever part of their study? And they said it wasn't. And I said, if you're in a relationship with God and you don't understand hearing from God, then you're pretty much dependent on just what you can come up with, which is not all that much. Mm-hmm. So all relationships in Scripture, it's vital that they hear from God. Even to Christ is the ultimate. I only do what I see the Father doing, I only say what I hear the Father saying. So it's pretty critical. So I asked them, can I just walk you through real basics of hearing God over a number of weeks? And so, you know, they were amicable to that. So we did it. It was beautiful. One of the guys in the group asked if he could come visit me at my house. I invite him over. And he comes over and he has a very strong stuttering issue. And so he tells me he's a middle school math teacher, And he wanted to hear from God about his identity, who he was, because his identity was stutterer, basically. Mm-hmm. A middle school math teacher who stutters, that was his identity. So we prayed through identity, and the whole time I said, I just want you to listen to God. And it could be something you feel in your heart, words you see or hear. It's just, tell me how you sense the answers to questions. I'm just going to ask the Lord. So I asked the Lord some questions about him. And then I said, Lord, what do you say about this man? He wants to know who you say he is. And the guy started shaking his head no, which is common especially with men when I'm doing this. And that's how I know they're hearing from God. It's interesting. When they're hearing from the enemy, they nod in affirmation. When they're hearing from God, they shake their head no. Very common in Scripture, because it takes no faith to believe what the enemy says, ever.
Yeah.
But it always takes faith to believe what God says, especially about you or me. And so he's shaking his head no, and I said, why are you shaking your head? Who are you shaking your head at? And he said, it's hard for me to believe that this is me. And I said, what do you hear? And he said, I sense that God is calling me. I'm an internationally famous scholar. And I said, well, what's wrong with that? He goes, how do I know that that's not just me? And I said, do you get up every morning and look in the mirror and call yourself an internationally famous scholar? And he said, no, I've never even thought of it. I said, that's how you know it's not you. That's how you know. I said, what do you call yourself when you look in the mirror? And he says, I call myself a stutterer. That's the enemy right there. Wow. And so I said, so here's what I want you to do. Now God's called you a name. Now, what's the first step in becoming an internationally famous scholar? What would that take? And it was specifically in the field of statistics. It was so interesting. And he said, well, I would have to go get a PhD. And I said, okay, well, I'll help you. What do we do? How do we start? What's the first step? Let's go. And this is accountability, right? I'm going to hold him accountable to become what God calls him. That's what a good accountability group does. And so he engages in that process. And he gets accepted into a PhD program. So I'll shorten this. And so he's back. He's excited about it. And I said, you know, I'm curious, though, about the stuttering issue. I said, can we just lay that before the Lord and see what he says about that? And so we started praying about that. And I said, Lord, when's the first time he began stuttering? And he talked about when he was young, his sister's super smart. And every time he would go to talk, his sister would cut him off and finish the sentences. And so he learned to say part of a sentence and then stop. And it became a pattern of how he spoke based on, I'm not smart enough to finish this sentence. And so we started working on the Lord's like, I want you to finish your sentences. When you start talking, I want you to finish your sentences. It's part of how you view yourself. And so then we started practicing him finishing sentences when he started them. And that was another accountability project. And then in the small group he was in, when he would start talking, they would all be dead silent until he finished, to give him confidence that he could finish sentences. And he really improved. He gets into the PhD program. He's working on his thesis on statistics, and he would send me a chapter that he would write. I don't know anything about statistics, but he would send me his chapter. And then he and I would pray together and say, God, what do you want him to know about statistics that he doesn't know yet that needs to be in this? So he would have his finished section, and in the margins, he would write ideas he would have after asking God to speak to statistics. It's beautiful. And then he would put those in. He takes his PhD to his advisory board. They read it. They're like, where did you come up with this? How did you come up with this? And he wins the gold medal for PhDs in his field in the U.S. As a result of that, he gets invited to Tel Aviv to meet what in his world is the greatest person he could possibly meet, this Jewish guy that teaches statistics at University of Tel Aviv. Because he won the gold medal, he gets to go to that meeting, and he asked me if I'll go with him because he's afraid in the meeting he'll start to stutter again. And so I agreed to go. So that was great all the way up until that. But what happened when we got into the Middle East was even better. So I can tell you that story at some point.
You're a radio pro because we're right up on our quarter hour break. Oh, yeah, my goodness.
What happened.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. So lean in, friends, because the story gets better from here. Talking to Jamie Winship. We get him on every month for an identity check. And today, specifically, we're focusing on how to hear from God, specifically as it relates to your identity. On the other side, we'll hear the rest of the story. Then I'm going to read a prayer, a portion of the prayer from Jamie's book that helps us set the stage to hear from God. We'll talk more about that. If you've got questions about identity, you can text them in, or about hearing from God, 877-933-2484. We'll be back in just a minute. I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. The religious leaders expected a warrior. The disciples wanted an overthrower. The bullies wanted him to shut up. And the sinners were surprised when he stepped up. At every turn, Jesus surprised them, just as he surprises us now. Why? Because he always has the bigger story in mind. And you are a part of that story. You were the joy set before him. Connecting faith to life. Faith Radio. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live. Every month we get our friend Jamie Winship on the show to talk identity. And today specifically, we're going to talk about how to hear from God as it relates to your identity. And he writes about that extensively in his book, Living Fearless, Exchanging the Lives of the World for the Liberating Truth of God. We've got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to get in on the drawing, 877-933-2484. And before the break, Jamie, oh my goodness, you were talking about a man who was a science teacher and a stutterer, and that was his identity. And when you walked him through the process of hearing from God, the Lord told him he was an international scholar, I think, if I believe that right, or heard that right. Mm-hmm. And then you talked to him about, okay, what do you got to do to get your PhD? I mean, and so on and so forth. He gets this high-level PhD, wins an award, goes to Tel Aviv. He asks you to go with him because he's afraid he's going to return to stuttering. Take it from there.
Yeah, so his fear was that he would, you know, that he would revert back into the old identity under in the situation where he felt not like he's not enough or not as smart as the person he's going to meet, this guy he reveres, who's his field of study was statistics. And so, and the reason the Israeli professor wanted to meet him was because he wanted to know how he came up with the ideas that he came up with. That was going to be the whole question. And my friend was afraid to tell this Israeli that the way he came up with it was by listening to God in his vocation, in his field. Mm. He didn't know how to articulate it. So he asked if I would come. Well, I mean, I said, I'm not going to be able to articulate anything about the field of statistics. So I'll be of no help to you except to sit next to you and hold you accountable to speak out of the truth of who God made you to be. That's all. That's my whole role. So we get into Jerusalem. We went to Jerusalem first and to spend 2 or 3 days because I wanted to introduce him to what's going on in the West Bank and that kind of thing before we went to Tel Aviv. So we were. So he and I went into the West Bank, into a pretty tense, crowded area in the West Bank. And I told him, I said, what we're going to do is we're going to ask God to lead us to a Muslim who has been searching for God, searching for Jesus. And we're just going to walk among the markets and just ask God to lead us to a person like that. And so my friend, who's the statistical guy, was calculating the statistics of how likely that is to happen, that we would find that one person among 2 million Muslims. So we go in and we just start walking around and I'm talking to everybody, you know, and we're at this fruit stand and I'm talking to this guy next to me in English. This Arab gentleman says to me, you know, do you know what that is? What kind of fruit that is? And we get in this conversation and my friend's with me and we're talking about this fruit and the guy says, ask me if I'm a Christian. And I said, are you a Muslim? and he said, well, I am a Muslim. He said, but I'm kind of on a journey. I was wondering if you're a Christian. And I said, well, I don't know what your definition of that word is, but I'm a follower of Jesus. I believe Jesus is the Messiah, and, you know, and that he's the way to God. If that's what you mean, yes. And the man said, I've been looking for someone like you because I have a question I want to ask about Jesus. So I look at my friend, and he's just like staring. He can't believe that this dude is standing there. So I say to the guy, I say to the Muslim guy, I said, yeah, I would love. He goes, but I want you to come tomorrow and meet with me because I want to take you to my village. I want you to come meet my family to have this discussion in private. And I said, okay, great. And then he just leaves. The guy just leaves. I don't have his name. I don't know anything except the bus stop of where to meet him, maybe. So then I say to my friend, like, oh my gosh, I didn't get any contact info. We're going to have to wander around the crowd and see if we can find him again. And so he's calculating the odds of that happening. We don't even know the guy's name. So we start wandering around in the afternoon. We actually find the guy again, set up the time, set up how we're going to meet. We meet him the next morning. We get on this little bus, and then the bus is in the West Bank. You get on and you just wait for the bus to fill up before they'll leave. So you could be there for 10 minutes or a day. So we're sitting on the bus with the man, and he says to me and my friend, he said, I've been having dreams about Jesus, and I have questions, but I'm afraid to ask my Muslim friends, and I don't want to ask my Christian neighbors because they won't understand. So I've been praying for someone from outside of this area to come and help me with this. So we're like, okay, so we go up to his village, and we meet his wife and his family, and he walks us down to this monastery that was near his house with Mary standing there holding the infant Christ. And he said, I walk by this statue every day, and I want someone to tell me this story and what it means. And so we walked him through the birth of Christ and the death of Christ and the resurrection, because, you know, we were 10 miles from Jerusalem at that point, all the way through that story. And I kept letting my friend tell the story to practice his fluency and how he speaks. When we got to Tel Aviv, my friend was so energized by the power of God to move in things and to trust him in his leading that when the Israeli quite famous person said to him, how did you come up with this statistical theory that you came up with? He said, the way I did it was I would write what I know, and then I would spend time in prayer asking God, what else do I need to know or do I not yet know about statistics? Can you communicate a higher level to me? And I would write it down in that way. That's what he tells the Israeli guy. The Israeli says to him, I've been an atheist my entire life. He said, I've never had any reason to believe in God until I read your PhD. And he said, it's because you can't come up with this level of thinking without some kind of outside inspiration, he said. And when I read it, it moved me spiritually. That's what he said. Wow. So I'm sitting there watching, who thought this, the theory of statistics spiritually move people.
Wow.
And that just shows what hearing God in your vocation, in your identity can do. And because of that conversation, that guy invited my friend to co-author a new textbook on statistics with him, which elevated my friend into the world of academics at a level he would never be. And now he's a university. My friend's a university professor. And he doesn't just teach statistics. He teaches how to hear from God in relation to statistics. And so he's not Joseph. He's Daniel.
Wow.
He's bringing transformation.
He's an international scholar.
That's
wow.
Right.
Wow.
Yes. And people are coming to faith because of him.
So good. So you've got this prayer where you're helping us kind of posture before the Lord to hear from God. And I'm going to just read a portion of it, but I just want you friends to get a sense of that we don't just come presuming upon God. We come relying on him and honoring mm-hmm. him. And I feel like your prayer is so reverent. And I've been thinking a lot, Jamie, about the difference between presuming upon God and relying on
yeah.
him. You know, good. Not thinking we ever have to check our hearts, our lives, our attitudes, or anything. We can come bumbling in and demand what we want, and we can't. And your prayer really speaks of that. And you say, this is just a portion, friends, but God, because of Jesus, we can come right into your presence, into the presence of the living God right now. Because of Christ our Savior, you say to us, come boldly to the throne of grace in your time of need. We can come right now, especially if we're in need, especially if there are things in our life we're afraid of, ashamed of, or feel guilty about. We come now. This is your desire, God. This is what you're longing for us. We come not by works, but by grace through faith, which is a free gift. No one reading this is any better than anyone else. And here we are, Lord, in your presence, and we ask, God, that you would silence the enemy around us in our mind and in our life. We're so used to listening to the enemy and the world and our flesh all the time. Silence the voices, we pray, in the name of Jesus. We say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You have lost. You are done. You are over. We bow our knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We don't bow to anyone else. The Lord rebukes you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, whom you must obey. Lord, would you fill each of us with the fullness of your Spirit? God, would you sanctify our mind and our imagination as we think about you now? You've given us the ability to dream and to imagine. What does it mean to walk into your throne room right now? It's an actual occurrence that's happening right now. What does it mean to stand in the throne room of God? We stand above all creation with Christ. So here we stand, Lord, in your midst. Nobody talks but you. Nobody speaks but you. Lord God, fill us with the fullness of your Spirit. Silence our own voice so that our mind is tied up with your mind, our spirit bound to your Spirit. Lord, let us begin hearing from you in a deep, new way, like we've never heard before, or maybe even for the first time. Lord, here's the first question we want to ask you. God, what's the most important thing you want to say to me right now, in Jesus' name? Oh, I just love that so much. That's just a portion, but speak to that as whatever God is giving you right here.
Well, and I was actually doing it with you. I'm listening to the Lord for myself while you're doing that. It's so powerful, those passages, because we have a high priest that was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin, without separating from God or himself or others. So, that beautiful prayer. I pray like this all the time with people, especially when we're in a situation where there's not lots of time to get into something. But I just did it this weekend at this conference we were doing, and just to the person that's struggling hearing God, I just say, okay, stop. Look, we're in the presence of the living God right now. We're at a throne of grace right now. You and me, we're here together because he wants you here. He's inviting you to be here, and he's paid the ultimate price to open the way for us to come in Jesus. That's how much the Lord wants you to come, and that's why you come, as you said, Susie, with such reverence, because it's a gift. It's an incredibly sacred, valuable gift to walk in the presence, to live in the presence of the God who speaks. And when a person gets that, it starts thinking that way, you know, and starts imaging forth that way, in the part of our brain where we see and hear and dream and have ideas and visions. And it's so quick for a human to be able to do that. It's so quick for them to be able to just be there. And then you silence the enemy, which is critical, because the lies are what we're listening to 24/7. So you shut them down. And this kind of silence in the throne room opens your mind to receive from God, which is the great, I think it's the thing we have the hardest time doing, is just receive from the one who loves you, receive from the one who knows everything about you. And then in that posture, just asking the Lord, Lord, what do you say about me? While you were praying that, Susie, the Lord was talking to me about my coworker. And he was just saying, while you're doing that, he was telling me, love your coworker, love, protect your coworker, love your coworker. That's really beautiful. That's why I got a little bit lost in your prayer there.
That's so amazing. And that's the thing, is I love the question, what's the most important thing you want me to know right now? Because, you know, although he invites us to come with our petitions, so often prayer is one-sided, right, and we are listing all the things we think God needs to do.
That's right.
And yet he might come from left field to go, I want to talk about this because this is the thing that may unleash a healing in your life that you can't even imagine. And
Absolutely.
So you talk about not to overanalyze. So as you listen,
right.
you might get an image, an impression, a thought, and you say, don't edit, don't analyze,
mm-hmm.
write it down, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Because, wow, I've been doing this so much in the last few days, but a gentleman I was praying with, he just kept telling me that he was disappointed in life, disappointed. And I said, why? And he said, I just feel like I've missed opportunity in my life. He's in the 60s, kind of a common fear in life is that we missed something. And I said, what did you miss? And he said, I don't know. I just feel like I never took advantage of opportunity. And I said, why? And he said, I think I'm just been afraid of it. And I said, where did you learn that fear? Who taught you to be afraid of opportunity? And he said, I don't know. And that's when you go into the throne room and say, Lord, what do you want him to know about missing opportunity? How does it make him feel? And he kept saying to me, this is what you're saying, Susie, just out of, you don't know what it means. The guy kept saying to me, I feel like the wind's been knocked out of me. I feel like the wind's been knocked. That's what he kept saying. And the Lord would say to him, the wind's been knocked out of you. And I would say, do you know what that means? And he said, I don't know. And Lord, what does it mean? And then he remembered being in fourth grade and running a race at school in fourth grade. And he won the race and he set a record. And then in fifth grade, he was going to run it again. And he was in the kitchen with his mom and he was all excited. And he said, Mom, I'm going to run that race again that I won in fourth grade and set a record. Do you think I'll set a new record now? And his mom said, no. And for whatever reason, his mom said no, and it knocked the wind out of him.
Wow.
That was the sensation in his body in fifth grade. He's 65.
Wow.
And so he said, I've never been able to get my wind back. That's what he said. It just all made sense to him all of a sudden because God spoke, redirected. And so we walked through the healing. And in the healing, he saw Jesus with him when he was in fifth grade. And Jesus said, let me breathe your breath back into you. And so we prayed that, and the guy would take these big, deep breaths, and he started crying. And I said, what is Jesus saying to you right now? And he said, Jesus is telling me to run again.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's
you can't orchestrate
amazing.
That, you know?
Wow. And what we know about God, when you're, you know, maybe someone who's listening to this today, maybe you're 70 and you feel like you've lost opportunities.
Right.
God does some of his best work in the elderly saints.
Yes.
I mean, you look at the stuff he did in scripture through those who are ready. So you just give him your yes today. And I think, don't you feel, Jamie, when you get a word from the Lord, it's like no demon in hell can touch that because you've heard from God, right?
Right. Yeah. Because the demonic can't stop him from running. It can just tell him that he doesn't have the breath anymore to do it. And he believes it. Like that's the lie.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the Lord's like, I'll give you your breath back. And it's like the prayer, you know, what did the enemy steal in that lie? Lord, restore it to me. And he forgave his mom in the process. And so, yeah, it's once he takes those deep breaths and the Lord says, okay, let's run. Now the lie is gone. Now the power of the enemy is gone. And now the gates of hell can't stop him. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Truth sets us free, right? Experiential hearing from God. Truth liberates us. And when God says, I want to breathe, Jesus wants to breathe back into him. That's straight out of the Gospels, right?
Yeah.
That's straight out of the Gospels of what Jesus does in a room full of scared disciples. He breathes the Spirit into them.
Wow. We're going to pause here. When we come back, you've told the Jason Bourne story before, but if I remember the part of the, and so friends, you'll have to go back. I tell people whenever I'm out speaking, look where podcasts are played, type in Susie Larson, Jamie Winship, listen to every show we've done because it'll change your life. And if you're new to Faith Radio, I'm just giving you that assignment and you'll be so glad you did. So you'll hear the Jason Bourne show maybe in a past show, but there was something about this Jason Bourne guy wanted to know if you were for real and wanted to know if your concepts on facing fear and bringing peace in conflict zones was for real. So you said, why don't you come with me? And you went into a conflict zone. You guys were facing down possible death because you were facing men who were saying, let's kill them now. But what happened, I think, if I remember right, Jamie, as we go to break, you were in a tent. I think you guys were lying down for the night, and he talked about infertility. That part of the story, I would love for you to unpack on the other side. And we'll keep talking about hearing from God. Jamie Winship is my guest. He joins us every month. One of our listeners, Michelle, said, how about when you're gone on vacation, you do every day Jamie Winship, like all week long? I think that's a really great idea. We just might do that. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. We've got our good friend Jamie Winship on the show today. He joins us every month for an identity check, and we talk each month about different aspects of our identity. Oftentimes, we go after the fear that keeps us from really becoming everything God intends for us. And today, we're talking about hearing God as it relates to our identity. And I asked you, Jamie, to tell the story. Again, friends, if you want to go back and listen to past shows, Jamie tells this great story about this Jason Bourne-like character. He was just... I don't know if you've ever watched the movies, but he's kind of like him. And he wanted to know if Jamie's concepts for bringing peace to conflict zones was for real. So Jamie says, why don't you join me? So you can take it from there and share whatever you want to set up that story of when he asked you about infertility.
Right. Yeah. So he wanted to know. He heard me speaking at a room in D.C. Actually, and the room was Muslims and other foreign policy State Department type people. And he came up to me at the end and he said, I want to know if you're the real deal, because anyone can tell the story. And I loved his question, because that's true. Anybody can tell the story. Anybody can stand up and say things. And he wanted to know if it was real and true. And so I said, well, if I tell you it's real and true, that doesn't help. So you would have to come with me and see what the Lord wants to show you. And so he did. And we went overseas into this super difficult place that I don't particularly love going myself, but we went. And in the process of being in that place, the people, the group that we were with, the tribal group that we were with, saw that an angel with us. That's what they saw, an angel standing outside our tent at night, and then out the door when we were in the room with them. So it was, so they told that to my friend, Jason Bourne friend. And he, you know, it was stunning to him that that could really happen, something like that. And so when we were back in our, we're in a Bedouin situation. So a Bedouin tent, not like a camping tent, it's a massive Bedouin tents, and they're actually quite beautiful. But so we're back in our tent and we're out in the middle of the Sahara Desert, and it's pitch black in the tent. So I can't see anything, neither can he. And he's, you know, he's on a mat across from me, and he whispers to me in the dark. He asked me, first thing he said was, how many beings do you think are in this tent with us? I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to think about, I don't like to think about that kind of stuff. I don't want to know. I'm just gonna trust God. Well, it'll be all right. And then he said, he said, I can't hear from God. That's what he said. I can't hear from God. And I said, what are you asking him? Asking God. And he said, I want to know why my wife and I can't get pregnant. See, like, what's beautiful, and this is like so a teachable moment for believers, is you people want to ask questions about what's going on inside of them. But they want to ask people that they view as authentic. It's really important that they can come to a place where they can say, I think what you're saying is real and true. And I'm going to risk opening myself up to you to ask this question. So much of how you live day to day among people is important, and just honoring people and respecting people and not making fun of their questions or their doubts. But so he waited months to ask me this question. He came to a foreign country just to see if he could ask me this one question. And so I was so honored when he said it. And he said, I want to know why we can't have kids. And I knew that was the deepest troubling fear. And this guy is so self-sufficient. I mean, he is such a professional and so good at what he does. And so is his wife. And so for them to be married and healthy and they just can't figure it out, And so I said to him, of course, as soon as someone asked me something like that, my question to God is, what do you want me to know and what do you want me to do right now? For me, how do you want to respond to this guy? This is an honor and he's important to you. And I said to him, God doesn't answer why questions. I actually told him, like, you're a military guy. You know this. You don't ask why questions to a commander. You just ask him, what do you want me to know? And you do it. And I said, so don't ask God why questions. Ask him what he wants you to know about having kids. And then he was quiet. And then all he said back to me is, I'm in. That's all he said. I'm in. Like, he heard. He could hear. On that question, he could hear. So when you're asking God questions, there's questions that you're asking that are the right questions to ask, and there's questions that you're asking that aren't the right questions. And the Lord will direct you to the right question in all very beautiful ways. Mm. But sometimes it's just you ask the Lord a question and it's just silence. And so then the next question is, Lord, why when I ask you this question, is it silence? And then the Lord will speak to the silence, which is a directional answer. He wants you to, I don't want to talk about this. I want to talk about this. And so, so that's what happened to my friend. And what the Lord told him, he told me way later. He has 4 kids now. They're amazing. and he said, the Lord told him that he said, your wife is trying to get her identity from having children. And I don't want that. What a profound statement. Wow. That because parents do get their identity from their kids, and that's a dangerous thing to do. We get our identities from the Lord alone. And so he went home and told his wife that, and it really affected her walk spiritually, and it affected their marriage and to the good. And then, now they have these 4 gorgeous, 3 boys and a girl.
We're going to take our last break. When we come back, a dear listener said, I hear these stories of miracles where things come out perfectly. Could you speak to the situations where you're positive you've heard from God, but the outcome is negative? Or when you ask God and you hear silence, I just want to know. I want to be transparent about my dissonance. And I so appreciate that question. I know Jamie does too. Talking to Jamie Winship, we'll have him answer that on the other side. Talking today about hearing from God. And I want you to know as we go to break, God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. He loves you. Scripture even says daily the heavens pour forth speech. So often we're looking in the wrong direction, or we're creating a bullseye that we expect God to hit when he might want to talk about something else because our souls need it. Talking to Jamie Winship, and we'll have more with him in a moment. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I remember one day after my show, driving home from the station, when my heart was very heavy. I was burdened with something that I really couldn't talk about, but God knew about. I was crying out to him for wisdom, insight, direction, something. Give me something, God, I cried. Suddenly my ears perked to the voice on my radio, and it was someone on Faith Radio talking about the very problem that I had. I work for Faith Radio, yet at that moment, I was a recipient of a divine connection of hearing the right word at the right time. That's what God does. We love him for it. Every day, we do our best to serve up the best leaders, the best voices of our day to help disciple you in your faith. But then God does what only he can do. He steps in and helps you to hear the right word at the right time. If Faith Radio has become a part of your daily journey with God, we would love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and to help you grow at myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. We're having a fantastic conversation with our friend Jamie Winship, who joins us every month for an identity check. We're drawing from his really wonderful book, Living Fearless, Exchanging the Lies of the World for the Liberating Truth of God. And today we've been talking about our identity as it relates to hearing from God. And when you start to get a word, when you listen for the Lord, when you silence the enemy, silence the inner critic, and you posture yourself reverently before God and he speaks to you about who you are, I'm telling you what, it changes everything. It changes how you show up, and you get this like truth bomb in your soul. So this is a worthy conversation. We got a listener who said, Jamie, I appreciate so much. He says, I hear these stories, stepping out in faith, hearing from God, and they do seem textbook miraculous. Everything comes out perfectly. Could you speak to some of those situations where we're positive we've heard from God, but the outcome's negative? Or when you ask God what he says, you hear silence. And this man desires to live into the life that you're inviting us into, just wants to understand the disconnect for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a good question. And, you know, when we're in telling these stories about the victories that we see, it's always, I mean, I can tell you way more, not a failure. That's not the right way to think of what worked or didn't work. That's the wrong way to think about it. The way to think about it is things I didn't understand. That's more what it is. I don't understand what's happening, because it's never that nothing happened. That's always not true. And so when I'm praying about something, and I mean, I have to wrestle through lots of different things. It's unusual for me to just go blank on something. That's unusual. Just because I think God's talking all the time to us. So one of the things is you want to be careful of when you're praying is like preconceived ideas. You're saying this, Susie, that we have this idea that I'm going to ask a question, God's going to answer. It's going to nail it on the spot, and we're going to go do that. But it is clear in Scripture. I mean, Hebrews 11, read it. Or even for someone like Abraham or Moses, that what they think is going to happen doesn't happen, or doesn't happen the way they think it's going to happen. And in Hebrews 11, it says some never received a promise. So there's no guarantee of how this goes. So when you're talking about did it work or not work, you have to keep that in mind. But having said that, what I run into in my own walk, but in the people that we pray with, and we pray with thousands of people in all different places and cultures, is one is this, Lord, is there anything in my life that's preventing me from receiving all that you have for me? Start with that question. Lord, is there anything in my life that's preventing me from receiving all that you have for me? So that when God may give you a picture of something, he may give you a vision of something that's a year off or 20 years off. It's hard to tell. So as we start to move towards it and it doesn't work the way we think, it's like, okay, Lord, is there anything I'm doing that's preventing me from receiving the fullness of what you have for me? That's one. Is there any way that I'm understanding this incorrectly? Is there anything that I'm thinking about that's not correct? Just these beautiful, because what you're doing is you're learning to be in a process and a journey with God and learning how to hear from him in all different scenarios. And then also, unforgiveness shuts everything down. I'm always asking the Lord, Lord, is there anyone in my life, any place in my life where I'm not receiving your forgiveness or extending your forgiveness? Because that will shut down something God's doing. He tells us, we'll forgive your trespasses in as much as you forgive those who trespass against you. And so you want to constantly be checking in. Lord, is there any place in my life where I'm not walking in your forgiveness? Is there any person in my life that I'm refusing to extend forgiveness to? These kind of checkup questions. And finally, when you think of Matthew 6:8, where it says, the Father knows what you need before you ask. So it's asking God, tell me what I need. Lord, what do I need today? What do you say I need today? And then when he brings that to your mind, ask him for it. That's a pretty guaranteed formula right there. To walk that way. But it's all about humility and not demanding and not expecting certain things, but just asking the Lord for guidance continually. And he's always refining us.
You know, we've just got about a minute left, but you know, we can maybe talk about this another day, but you know, we can't privatize our relationship with God. I mean, it's private, it's intimate. but it's community too. You talk so much about how we become who we are in community. And I just feel like I need to say this. You know, scripture says you confess your sins to God, you're forgiven. You confess to each other, you're healed. And I wonder if for some who are listening today who feel like they're blocked, if they haven't been honest with the people who are closest in their circle, because when you've talked about to be able to be honest, a confession isn't, I'm sorry, it's, I don't believe God's willing. Either he's not able or he's not willing to deliver me from this battle. When you get honest, it opens up, it opens things up, doesn't it?
Amen. That's right. Yeah. And communities. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even just when I'm, you know, there with you is different than talking to you on the phone. Just the presence with being with one another is hugely powerful. I feel like sometimes when a person's stuck, if I just put my hand on their shoulder, things change when we pray. Just that connection with other people. So yeah, that's a great point.
Well, so we're ready to wrap here. I'm just going to read a little excerpt from Jamie's book. If your identity is unworthiness, you will act like an unworthy person. It doesn't matter where you are, whom you're with, you'll still act to prove your worth and value. You'll set up all the chairs, be the first one at church every week. Why? Because you're overflowing with joy? No, because you're trying to prove that you're worthy. But only God makes you worthy. Only God removes shame and replaces it with value. On the cross, Jesus canceled all the guilt and resulting shame. Your works cannot accomplish this. Receive the free gift from God. Jamie, thank you for this conversation.
Yeah.
They always whip by so fast. Look forward to next month. God bless you, brother.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Always such a great conversation. And based on all the texts that came in, I know it resonated with you today. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in. I really am going to take this into consideration. I'll talk to our producers. If there's a week where I'm gone and we can put Jamie Winship all day, all the time, Monday through Friday, that might be amazing. But either way, I know you were inspired and encouraged today, as I was, and we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.